Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza on the phone this morning. Susana, how are you this morning, ma'am? Good?
I'm doing great. How about this weather?
Woo! Nice, huh?
So exciting.
Well, we just hope it lasts. It finally summer's here, or spring or summer, depending on the day.
Don't jinx it, though. Don't jinx it. You know, let's just be happy for day by day.
I think that's how you've got to do it, literally. You have seen a couple of pieces of legislation with your name firmly attached, have seen great progress. I think that number one we should go with is the, which can be confusing because of the terminology, offshoring. Salaries in the governor's office. When we talk about offshoring, we're not talking about sending it to India or Mexico or Europe. What we're talking about is using another department's payroll.
Sure. So we call it the Truth in Hiring Act because it's really just about having honest budgets. And while this, of course, is happening under Governor Rauner's term, this is not an issue that Governor Rauner is solely responsible for by any means. As a matter of fact, to be fair, we can tell that as far back as we can tell, every governor of both parties, doesn't matter if they're Democratic or Republican, have, taken advantage of this deceptive accounting practice. And essentially what it does is that governors year after year present these budgets to the public that make it appear that their payroll is in fact quite a bit less than it actually is. And I just really believe that taxpayers deserve to know how their money is being spent, and that all of our budgets, regardless of whether it's my budget or the governor's budget or the state agency independent budgets, that they should all honestly reflect what the cost of their actual payroll is.
Now, there's another piece of legislation which I've talked to you before that sometimes when I see these financial figures, I feel there's some intellectual dishonesty in them. And this is another item that you're trying to rectify by saying, look, let's break out what we're paying here when it comes to interest. Let's get a better handle on where this money is going. Big fan of that.
Yeah, exactly. So, we've been talking about these late payment interest penalties that have accrued as a result of the state not paying its bills on time. When we are more than 90 days late on many of our bills, they start to accrue what is up to 12% interest penalties. I mean, that's just a huge amount of money that has now, just in the last 2.5 years, racked up to more than $1 billion. We actually were at about $1.14 billion. And so you can imagine you could build literally, according to the estimates that we see now, around 4 brand new Quincy campuses. Or imagine what $1 billion could do to fund higher education. That's the number that higher education historically uses as the number that would be like the number that gets them everything that they basically want to be able to educate our kids, about $1 billion. We've blown more than that in late payment interest penalties. And I think it's important that whenever governors are talking about the budgets and how they present their budgets year to year, they need to include this number because this is real money. It's a liability that the state has incurred. It's a liability that we will have to pay back. Therefore, it's a liability that we have to account for in budgets. And last thing I want to say about that is that, I actually, as a sitting Democratic member of the majority party, asked a Republican member of the House of Representatives, in essence a Republican member of the minority party, to be my lead sponsor on that piece of legislation. So you can't get more bipartisan than that. I've been so happy and honored to be able to work so well with all of the Republicans. In fact, that bill passed unanimously in the House of Representatives and also passed through the Senate. So we're on a roll this year. I think we've already passed three, maybe even a fourth bill now that's on its way to the governor's desk for his signature, and hopefully he'll join along. It would be nice to see that.
Well, when I look at this, because I've become more and more a bit of a kind of a nutcase of watching every bit of where my money goes and what percentage goes to things like that, and I've been using double entry bookkeeping to kind of root out where I can save some money because I live in Illinois and I need every buck. And I think when you do this, if you were anywhere else in the world, well, let's take Credit Karma. I love that piece of software. It would say, hey, you've got a lot of interest here. We see this accruing. Here's some ideas on how you can handle that. When it gets to items like that, it has to be paid for. It needs to be assigned a category. It needs to, it needs to be displayed because that's what good managers do. And what's interesting is when I'm going through my Credit Karma report, I find out that affects my credit rating.
Sure does. Yeah, sure does. It's a scary thing. I mean, $1 billion is not something that you just kind of like, it's not a rounding error. That is a humongous chunk out of a budget, a working budget in the state of Illinois. And the problem is that, you know, people just pretend that these late payment interest penalties don't exist. And by pretending that they're not there does not make those payments go away. We're still on the hook for them. But, you know, imagine that every time a governor introduces a budget, if they don't account for those late payment interest penalties, then that budget immediately is out of balance by the whatever amount those late payment interest penalties are. And at this point, it's over $1 billion. So this, again, like I said, it's just about having honest, transparent budgets. I really believe that every single taxpayer in this state deserves to know the liabilities that have been charged to their, you know, credit card, and how we intend to pay for them. That's a really, really important thing.
You know, what's interesting is I've been seeing some pie charts that you published on this and how much it grew, in particular, our late payments during the budget or lack thereof for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is another one of these very interesting stories that you've got to watch really closely. I read an old article, Wall Street Journal reports, stated, I believe, February 12th of 2017, stating that the state of Illinois, 25% of our entire budget will be going to pensions through now through 2044.
I mean, it's about $130 billion in unfunded pension liabilities, and that's a humongous number. I mean, we've spent so much time talking about the gigantic bill backlog that reached almost $17 billion, but obviously that pales in comparison to the $130 billion in unfunded pension liabilities that the state is, you know, responsible for. So there has to be at least a plan set in motion to address this issue of the pension plan. They've tried to do things that have been found to be unconstitutional, but I would suggest that, you know, we need to start being very serious and having this discussion about how do we plan to pay this money back? Because the longer we delay the inevitable, the worse and worse that number gets, the higher and higher it gets.
You know, I've gone a little long. Can I keep you a couple of minutes? I want to take you off track for a couple of moments. Sorry about abusing your time schedule this morning.
No, it's my pleasure.
I'll be honest with you, I was a little stunned to see the Quincy VA controversy spill into the comptroller's race. That surprised me quite a bit. It involves an email. I noticed press releases from J.D. Pritzker last week, saw some photographs. You were there at a press conference. For those of us who are unaware of this story, this involved an email, the Quincy VA, and Senator Tammy Duckworth.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've seen a lot of things in politics, and it's not often that I get surprised, but on this one, my jaw dropped. And that's the woman who's actually running against me for the position of controller, who worked for the governor up until very recently that she decided to leave to focus full-time on the race. This is such a crazy story. She, the day after that story broke, and it was such a huge scandal, and almost every single person that I know, their immediate reaction to the knowledge that 13 veterans died in Quincy at that home, and that for six full days, the families of those victims had not been notified that there was a known outbreak of Legionella bacteria. I mean, most people were horrified, and their immediate reaction was like, good God, you know, how did this happen, and what can we do to protect the rest of the seniors? Because they're all seniors, but, you know, the veterans. And unfortunately, Darlene Senger, who worked for the governor as his deputy chief of staff and policy director, sent an email on her work email to the administration saying, we can maybe tie this back to Tammy Duckworth.
All right. That email was sent in 2017?
Excuse me?
That email was sent in 2017?
Yeah, it was sent the day after the story broke statewide. There was a huge investigative story done by WBEZ in Chicago. It's a radio station, NPR affiliate. And it was a very detailed, you know, fact-filled story. It was heartbreaking. But the worst part is to think that, you know, when you should have been, you know, thinking about protecting the remaining seniors at that home. Her immediate reaction was, let's try to deflect blame from the administration and put it onto a decorated war hero who had absolutely nothing to do with that scenario, who had left the VA 6 years before there was a single case of Legionella, and who, by the way, happened to leave half of her body on a battlefield trying to protect our country. That's Senator Tammy Duckworth. I mean, it's about as low as it gets, Tom.
Have you heard?
I asked for an apology. She refuses to give an apology. She keeps trying to, you know, stick to the same story of, well, maybe there was Legionella before. Maybe she had something to do with it. You know, maybes. That there are no facts. There's no evidence. And rather than fix blame, she should have gotten to work on fixing the problem.
I appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning. This VA story is another one that just doesn't seem to go away. And then, of course, as you started the conversation, a price tag involved there. Whenever I was listening to you talk, I looked it up quickly. So Duckworth was the VA assistant secretary in Washington 6 years before this. So
director of the VA as well here in Illinois. So, but remember, she left 6 full years before this 2015 outbreak. So even before, even after Tammy Duckworth, there was another Veterans Affairs director. And before Tammy Duckworth, there were Veterans Affairs directors. So the fact that this woman singled out a Democratic, you know, popular senator who happened to be a war veteran herself is just beyond the pale. I mean, she could have picked anybody. She could have labeled, if she wanted to place blame, it should have been governor to governor then, right? It shouldn't have been the director of the agency to this governor, right? Like, it's not even an apples-to-apples blame game here. She singled out probably the last person on earth that she should have, and I think it speaks to a lack of character. I think values and character are actually really important when trying to seek the public's trust. And I would just say that right there, in my mind, she lost all credibility to lead the people of this state when she chose to deflect blame and protect her governor's reputation, her boss's reputation, than to protect the lives of the remaining veterans at that home. It's just really, like I said, I've been in this line of work many years, and I've seen lots of stuff, including leading an impeachment effort against the governor of my own party, but I never thought I'd see something like this.